Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Patrick McKay, the COO of Runtime Verification. Good afternoon, Patrick. How you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I forget. It's still morning here in the Bay Area, but I know it's afternoon where you are.
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit before 2 o'clock.
And it looks like a bright sunny day there in the Illinois area.
It's a bright sunny day. Yes, it is.
Well, to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Yeah, sure. So although now I call the Midwest home, I'm actually originally from the DC area, so Northern Virginia. Did my undergraduate education in the district, actually studied international politics, did government contracting for a number of years. Decided that the life of an independent contractor just wasn't for me. So decided to, at that point, to transition to business. And the best way to do that was to pursue an MBA. At that point, my mom, who's originally from Chicago, the oldest of six, she had moved back to Chicago. I have an older brother who was doing his education in the city. So came to the Midwest for my MBA, came here to the University of Illinois, where all my family had gone to schools, my mom and all of her siblings, thinking that that would parlay to a job in Chicago, simply going north on Interstate 57, right? One long driveway that connects Champaign into Chicago. Lo and behold, I actually got an opportunity to intern for a German e-commerce services firm when I was a student, and did that for 2 years. Graduating, was given the opportunity to actually start a subsidiary for them here. So the focus of that subsidiary was actually building out the mobile commerce side of that business. So we built out native applications, iOS and Android, as well as hybrid applications for large European retailers. So I guess essentially extending the reach of their business into the mobile space. Did that for 5 years. We transitioned all the IP back to Germany. And then I was hired by Capital One. And for Capital One, I opened up their first digital lab on a university campus. So we opened it up here in the University of Illinois Research Park. Hybrid combination of full-time tech staff. They were actually part of the newly formed Center for Machine Learning at the bank. And then we always had students. Obviously, having students, leveraging that connection to the university, trying to create that pipeline of talent into the company. Did that for roughly 3 years and then joined Runtime, where I'm in my current role. So Runtime, we provide software testing and verification services to large clients, primarily actually now in the blockchain space, but we actually cut our teeth providing those services to companies in the embedded space.
Interesting. I wouldn't have guessed embedded, but, and I assume you have a fair number of clients then in the fintech area. Is that correct?
We do. We have a fair number of clients in the fintech space. And the reason really why it was kind of serendipitous, and this happened before I joined the company, but how we actually got into the blockchain space. We were approached by a couple different folks that were building up large infrastructure projects, and they asked if we had considered applying what we do, what our specialty, which is formal verification, applying formal verification to smart contracts. Smart contracts are generally small programs, measuring or numbering 100 lines of code. So you can actually apply formal verification to those programs. It's quite a rigorous process. And if you try to apply that type of rigor to an embedded code base, which is thousands of lines of code, it's just impossible. So often our engagements with embedded clients, we would get access to a small portion of the code. Whereas in the blockchain space, we get access to the full kit and caboodle, which then we're able to test and verify and obviously pass along those results to the client.
Interesting. So pre-COVID, what was your experience with remote employment?
So pre-COVID, so we've always had some folks working remotely here in the States, and we've always had contractors working remote across the globe, primarily in Europe. So we were familiar enough in terms of how to manage and work across time zones, disparate schedules. Mm-hmm. But we had never, the company had never gone full remote, right? So there was always a physical headquarters. There's always a physical presence that the folks that are located here in Payne would go to every day.
Hmm. And then since COVID, what is now your experience now that I'm assuming you're all 100% remote, right?
We are. So we made the decision to go remote in March. Mm-hmm. And it's been, you know, I think it's been a challenge, but I think we were obviously lucky the fact that we were already working with disparate teams that were located in different parts of the globe or different parts of the country and the globe. So we already had that level of experience in terms of how you collaborate when you're not in the same place. But I think one of the biggest challenges with respect to working remote is that, you know, when you conscientiously choose mm-hmm. to work remote, right? When you say, okay, I'm going to carve out an office at home, going to work at a co-working space, that transition is not a seamless one, right? It still takes time. Now imagine, because this is the case not just with Runtime, but I think with companies across the globe, right? Mm-hmm. When that decision is made for you,
yep.
When it's thrust upon you, it's not an easy one. And there's definitely been challenges, but I think that we have learned along the way. And I think we're definitely in a good spot now as we end 2020 and enter 2021 to deal with, you know, the uncertainty of what that calendar looks like, right? When we will be able to move back into an office, mm-hmm. if folks are going to want to move back into the office, because, you know, I mean, I don't think we're alone here as an employer that we're, you know, I think the decision is going to be made by the employees, right? Do they want to go back into the office? Because obviously the model has proven to be successful that they can work from home. So we'll see.
Be interesting. And you know, the majority of your employees, I'm assuming you have a fair number of employees by the nature of your business that are technical in nature. So the technology part, I have to believe, was fairly seamless. So is it safe to say that the majority of the problems you face were more personal or mental in nature?
I mean, I think that, I would definitely characterize them as challenges, right? Mm-hmm. Definitely not problems, because I think, I call them challenges because I think we've all had to learn a lot more about empathy mm-hmm. during 2020 than we did before, right? So empathy implying that, you know, it really is put yourself in their shoes, right? Think about it holistically in terms of what is going on, right? What are the other factors and variables that are at play? And so it's, I think you're right. Technologically, it hasn't been too difficult, but it's definitely been challenging in terms of folks just being exhausted, right? And I think that's also because, you know, when you have a physical office, right, you have that separation, right? You go into the office, you do the work, you go home. And so there's some sort of semblance of a work-life balance or separation, right? Even if you have a laptop, even if you're bringing your laptop home with you, right, you still have that separation. But when you're working from home, it's the, you know, the laptop's always there, mm-hmm. you know, I work out of an office that my wife and I share. We alternate. Right around the corner is the kitchen. Right around the corner is the family room. Our three little kids are running around, right? You don't have the same separation. So you have that kind of, I think we've all had this situation where at all hours of the night, it's like your laptop is calling out. It's saying, mm-hmm. open me up. You have more work to do, right? So I think a lot of the challenges we've faced are to have definitely been about just burnout or just around burnout and exhaustion. Yeah. Definitely.
Well, and it's interesting, you know, because you talked about empathy, and what I think we've learned is like you have a spouse and three children, like you never can turn off, and that there are other people that live alone, and they have a whole different set of issues to deal with that you don't. And yeah. I think we've actually gotten to know each other a little bit better during this period, and actually gotten, we have put ourselves in each other's shoes, and it's actually made for a better work environment, like unintentionally. Would you agree?
I think it's made us all, and I don't mean for this to sound cliche, but it's kind of all just made us more human, right? Yeah. Kind of peeling back that that armor that maybe we wear in the workplace, because mm-hmm. even when we were chatting before the recording, my son came in. He said mm-hmm. hello. He said, "Hey, when are we going to do our reading lessons?" Like, okay, well, yeah, you're right. We have to do your reading lessons today because your education's important, and that's a role, and that's mm-hmm. a responsibility we have. So it's definitely made us more human. And I think you're right. I think I think one of the results is we've probably developed deeper relationships with the people that we call colleagues, and mm-hmm. now they're definitely probably more than that.
Yeah, and actually, my son is 30 years old, and he knows that when I'm on one of these calls, and he kind of tiptoes around. Very different dynamic there. So we've talked about, you know, what's going to happen when things go back, but what do you think remote employment will be like, you know, when things go back to normal, and for both in general and for runtime?
Well, I remember probably starting in late spring, right? There was a lot of op-ed pieces that were written. Is this the death of the office? You know, mm-hmm. and they would show pictures of just desolate downtown areas. And mm-hmm. they started talking about, oh, well, the, you know, global commercial real estate market is going to collapse. I don't think that's even remotely going to happen. I think that folks are, if you were working in the office before, I think a lot of those folks will probably choose to go back to the office again once it's deemed safe to do so. But there's also probably, you know, there's definitely a percentage of people that were working in an office and now are working from home, and they're thinking, oh, this is great, right? And I hope that they have the opportunity that it is afforded to them, that they can continue to do that they can make the best decision for themselves. I think that the fact that this that the I guess the exodus of the from the office, that it's been so prolonged, mm-hmm. that I think some of the questions about worker productivity, team productivity, and collaboration, I think they've probably answered themselves in the mm-hmm. fact that companies are still producing, teams are still collaborating. It's just different. So I think that there will definitely be a hybrid model. You know, a lot of the big companies, especially in the tech space, have already said that, right? There's mm-hmm. going to be a hybrid model where, you know, folks either work exclusively from home, or they're working in the office, or maybe they say, hey, just come in a couple times a week or a couple times mm-hmm. a month just to have a presence. But we'll see. I think at runtime specifically, I think we will definitely have an office. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be a smaller office. One of the results of the pandemic is that we've already renegotiated the lease we had with our landlord, and we actually downsized by half. Just because we weren't necessarily using all the space pre-pandemic, and now we know that we're not going to use it moving forward, simply because I think a lot of folks are going to choose to work from home. Mm-hmm. But we'll see.
Yeah. And that's interesting. So that brings up the logical question, you know, when your company, when runtime goes back, instead of people having dedicated workspaces, do you think it'll be more of a, hey, shared area and come in and plug in, and, you know, different groups will meet at different times? Or do you think people will still have a dedicated workspace?
I think that, you know, the model that existed or that we were using at the company, and this was largely based on employee preference, is that everyone had their own workspace, mm-hmm. their own office. We had that ability to offer that. So I don't think that will change. Mm. I think that some folks probably will, you know, the folks that want to work at the office like they were doing before will have an office. Those mm-hmm. folks that are coming in once a week, once every couple of weeks, mm-hmm. they'll work, you know, out in the bullpen, okay. so to speak, right? They'll work more in that social area, but we'll see.
Yeah, you never know. So, well, hopefully we find out soon. And I think a big determining factor, whether we go back or not, it has a lot to do with schools, as you said. If the kids are home, one of the parents has to be home, right?
Yeah, it's you know, that's definitely, you know, you talked about, you know, some people are in different situations, right? Some people are alone. Some people have a family around them. The access to schools and schools being open, mm-hmm. regardless of what decision a company will make in terms of when their office is open and when they're actually letting in people to start working. You know, if the schools aren't open, that decision is likely going to be taken away from a lot of employees, because you're right, you have to stay home and, you know, take care of the family.
Yes. Well, Patrick, I want to thank you for your time today. It's been enlightening. Great space to be in, blockchain testing and verification. I know there's a lot of that going on now. So good luck in the future and have a great day.
Thank you for having me here today. All the best.
All right. Bye. Goodbye.